I'm Marian Kolbaczek-McGee, Executive Editor at Information Security Media Group. Today I'm at the HealthSec Conference in Boston, speaking with Jigar Khadakia, CISO at Emory Healthcare in Georgia. Welcome, Jigar.
Thank you.
So, Jigar, for starters, tell us a little bit about Emory Healthcare and what you're responsible for in the CISO position.
Emory Healthcare is a large academic medical center located in Atlanta. And as CISO, I'm in charge of what you would typically expect for information security officers. So identity, risk management, vulnerability management, training and awareness programs, etc. And we are really focused in and technology transformation, and we are looking to kind of transform the legacy IT stack into kind of what the current state, future state IT stack should look like.
So now you're speaking at the conference about incident response strategies. What's your assessment of some of the incident response plans that we've seen play out in some of the major attacks we've seen so far, such as Change Healthcare, Ascension, and others?
So I think the biggest issue I've seen from an incident response perspective has been maybe not the incident response itself, but more around the business operations, business continuity aspects of it. I think in most of these cases that you mentioned, the security technology teams, I think, responded as you would do in a typical playbook, but the businesses that were impacted were not readily available to kind of address the business need. So Change, for example, is a third of a $5 trillion ecosystem for healthcare, and hundreds and thousands of organizations leverage Change for different services, and most of those organizations did not have a backup plan or an alternative plan during their outage, so they were all impacted. And you've seen in the news some of the smaller hospital systems, individual physician practices, et cetera, they had to take out loans, some of them had to shut down, and so they were never prepared. And so I think what we're discovering and what the messaging would be, you know, post-mortem on these types of attacks is, does the business have alternative options? Can they turn things on in the event of a negative event in their workspace? I think most organizations rely on one vendor, and that has impacted them immensely. There's no amount of security analysis, risk analysis, et cetera, that would be able to discover this level of potential vulnerability that occurred at these organizations. And so we have to be better prepared. And most healthcare organizations are relying on third parties. And so we need to have alternative plans in place, whether internal, another third party, et cetera. So if a blip like this happens, you have an opportunity to kind of recover. It's no different than a car. If you have a flat tire, you go to the spare and the spare is not pumped up, then you're still stuck. And so those are the types of things we need to start thinking through better.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. What are some of the most common gaps in incident response strategies? And how do you think these factors are playing out in terms of delaying incident response?
So I think some of the key gaps, I think even evidenced by these incidents, have been the speed. So speed to identify the issue, speed to kind of take action, and then speed to rectify. So Change, for example, took them a little time. They communicated, and then they had to figure out what they were doing, and then they communicated, and then it took a period of time to kind of rebuild their ecosystem. This would be typical for most organizations. So is there a faster way to kind of rebuild, or do we need to have a better approach on quote-unquote bare metal options in the event of an attack or a cyber incident? The other question here is with regards to the network. What happens if the network went away? Do we have alternative plans on the network? Because we rely so much on the network for all our technology needs with data transfers and those type of things.
What steps have you been taking to improve incident response processes in your own organization? And especially when you see what happens in the wake of something like Change Healthcare or even any other large healthcare system whose EHRs are down for weeks, if not a month.
I've taken some actions. We did a ransomware exercise, a tabletop exercise, actually right before the Change Healthcare. So it got a little bit, it was good that the executive team went through the exercise and then Change happened. And so they were a little bit more prepared going forward. We're going to continue to do exercises similar to that, whether it's a ransomware event or some other type of event. Just a few weeks ago in Atlanta, the main water line broke in the city, which caused hospital operations interruptions to the hospital because we had no clean water and we had to do different types of procedures. So practicing those things, developing muscle memory, so when these things happen, we can react quickly and ensure the safety of our patients.
What else is keeping you up late at night these days as you look at the healthcare sector and the threat landscape? What is most disturbing right now besides the ransomware attacks we've seen?
I think the speed. Technology is changing so fast right now. I'm not sure everyone is, you know, able to maintain and stay on top of all the key issues and risks. And the other big risk out there is AI. It's forming quickly. There isn't a lot of guidance around AI. People have interpreted how to use AI. People want to use AI. There are significant business benefits associated with AI. How do we kind of work through that process and develop a framework around risk management for AI and AI type based activities on top of kind of the traditional IT function around transformation or consolidation, so reducing the number of tools in your tool belt, as well as mainly redundant tools, and then including what the scope of the service will be as we move to the cloud. So, you know, most organizations or many organizations are in some position to move to the cloud or are moving to the cloud or have already moved to the cloud. And so that's going to be another kind of key thing to be worried about as we move things into the cloud.
So you mentioned AI and cloud. In terms of promising cybersecurity technologies, anything that you're kind of keeping your eyes on?
There has been a sense of consolidation in some of the technologies. So some of the cyber vendors are being bought by other organizations and combining technologies. So I think we will continue to see a consolidation in the vendors. There are going to be winners in this case, and there are going to be some losers. A lot of the technologies that I'm starting to see are really focused on users and kind of web-based technologies, and there has been a significant uptick of technologies in the cloud space.
Well, thank you so much, Jigar. I've been speaking to Jigar Khadakia. I'm Mary Ann Kolbasek-McGee of Information Security Media Group. Thanks for joining us.